minister to perform your ceremony. Ideal for couples who have one or two witnesses with a maximum number of 15 guests. For more information, visit WindChimeWeddingChapel.com or you could call them 893-9384. So thank you to them. And like I mentioned, talking about practice is starting momentarily, so stay tuned. We're going to get into the Super Bowl and all sorts of fun stuff starting right now. Oops.
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeedy. We are talking about practice. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me,
Derek Isamaki. Indeedy, I am.
Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. We got a big show coming for you guys. Obviously, we're going to dive into the Super Bowl. We will not, however, be discussing if Tom Brady is Tom Brady the greatest of all time. Yes or no, coming up. We're not going to do that.
We're going to talk about how we're not going to talk about that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. We are such rebels here.
Yeah.
On 90.1 KZFR. We're going to get into some Now I Know, all sorts of stuff. Lady Gaga's halftime performance and what we're going to be doing on our Sundays now.
I'm lost.
As always, Derek has some things that have been bothering him, so we'll get into Grinds My Gears a little bit later on in the show, so stay tuned for that. But we do start with the game from yesterday. This Super Bowl, the last game of the season. And I don't know where the best place to start is, but I do think that it is important to start with maybe a... Just don't trust the Falcons.
I was going to say, a little don't trust the Falcons, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what you've been saying this entire season.
In fact, here's some proof,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. I have been saying it all year long, so we will definitely laugh at the Falcons today because it's what we do. So, enjoy.
It's what you do.
Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons. I've said it once. I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jarrell has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like yep. They have so many issues that Jarrell loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they win the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there,
yeah,
take New England. Yep, solid advice from your boy right here.
It really was, yeah. You turned out to be a magical wizard out there, you know?
Yeah, I was a coin flip away from being completely wrong, but hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, no, it was right there for the taking for Atlanta, but
yeah, so let's,
you went against Tom Brady.
Let's get into the game. Like I said, a coin flip away. That game could have gone either way. I guess the nuts and bolts of it is, or what a lot of people are talking about today, obviously, is did Atlanta choke or did New England come back and really take it from Atlanta? And my answer to that, Derek, would be both. I think Atlanta absolutely choked, starting with that coaching staff and that offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. Shout out to all you Niners fans. We get 6 years of that.
And John Lynch.
Whose experience is what, being a white guy? Anyway.
That's a lot in this country, okay? You can go far.
I'm just joking, you know, because black guys don't really get hired as execs in that league. But anyway, let's not get derailed so early.
I was going to say, let's go on this topic now,
no,
shall
no,
we?
No. Let's not go down that path right now. It's too early in the show. I thought the play calling was at best suspect. I'm going to pull these stats up here in a second. But I believe Atlanta or New England held the ball for 40 minutes in that game.
It was ridiculous, yeah. And like they had like almost double the amount of plays that Atlanta had run. And it was definitely the Atlanta showed their inexperience in the second half of the second half. If that makes sense.
No,
yeah.
that makes total sense. Kind of. yeah. I thought it was curious that they ran the ball, I believe, four times in the second half. After Devontae Freeman was just running all over the place in that first half.
In the game, he averaged 6.5 yards a game. And in the second half, they completely left that. They didn't even try it. It felt like, I think he had 4 rush attempts for 5 yards in the second half, I think was the number I saw. Which goes to show maybe the run game wasn't there, but also shows that they didn't try, you know, at least with Devontae Freeman. And that was working for them throughout the entire first half. And then so, and you just saw, I mean, like I said, they always say that whole adage, the tale of two halves. Mm-hmm. This truly was that, you know. You saw the Patriots reset themselves, where you kind of figure out, like, okay, Atlanta's pretty good. They can score in bunches, and they just did a bunch of scoring on us. It's about time we figure this out.
Yeah, I was really it was disconcerting the way they played in the second half, to just completely abandon the run like we were both just speaking to. And, I mean, beyond that, you see what it did. So, for example, with that strip sack, there is no need for Matt Ryan to be in a five-step drop there. And even if you are, move the pocket around. And obviously, this is revisionist history, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to play the result.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Right. It's easy to play the result today. But I think, or I know for a fact, even then when I was watching the game, I was like, what are they doing? You know, before the sack, even just seeing him drop back there, I believe it was a 2nd and 1 when that strip sack occurred. And it was just completely unnecessary. I thought the play calling was poor. And you know, at the end of the day, like I've said all year, just don't trust the Falcons. It's just one of those franchises, man. They have a history of doing exactly this. And I mean, I do feel for that fan base, because this one is going to sting for years to come. Until they right the ship and win one, this is going to just be agonizing.
I mean, I equate it to losing a 3-1 series, you know? It pretty much was that. That's what happened to them, I feel, you know?
Shots fired.
They really did. But, I mean, that's not just, it just kind of goes to show in, like, the major sports this past year for baseball, basketball, and now football all provided finals that had such flip-flopping mirror images of each other, you know?
Right.
They had these, you know, it was a great game all around. Like, I mean, like I said, you even said at the end of the first half, we thought Atlanta was going to take it. I mean, the way that New England was playing that first half, they looked awful. Like, Tom Brady looked like Peyton Manning last year.
Yeah,
like,
Tom Brady looked terrible for 3 quarters.
Granted, he was uncomfortable. He was getting hit a lot.
Five sacks. Yeah. He got hit a lot more than that.
He couldn't put his feet down. Like, really couldn't find his footing to get, any strength behind the ball. So you saw a lot of just dud throws and also drop passes by the Pats receivers as well. So all in all, you saw a Patriots team in the first half that was not a Patriots team. And it was, I mean, it was a special moment when you saw Tom Brady just go off in the fourth quarter. It made it such an exciting game. And it just makes me believe that there are, like, you know, there are puppeteers controlling all of this. Like, okay, you know, we're just going to make it seem like that. But, you know, that's what we're doing right now. We're going to make Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta had, like, everything going for them. And then you're right. It just, next thing you know, boom.
Yeah.
They lost.
Yeah, I mean, they should have wrapped that up. As we were talking about, I mean, everyone said it. That game should have been over. Atlanta should have won, and lo and behold, they still have not yet hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. And Tom Brady does so for the 5th time, gets named Super Bowl MVP. And like I said, we're not going to have the discussion if he's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. It's not an interesting conversation, in my opinion.
It's a moot point no matter what.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. I mean, if he is, great. If he isn't, okay.
Like, and you can't prove it no matter what you do.
Yeah, he's an amazing quarterback. And there are other amazing quarterbacks that he's now a part of and has been a part of for some time now. And let's celebrate them all. I mean, I don't think it's as clear cut as having a Michael Jordan in that sport, so to speak. I think Tom Brady Brady's obviously been great, and there's been other quarterbacks that have been really good too. I just thought it was a little, I was a little upset that to hear Tom Brady won the MVP. I 100% thought that James White deserved it. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I know he scored 3 touchdowns, had like 14 receptions or something out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Absolutely just went insane. And
one of the good prop bets out there actually was that he won. He was 1 in 16, I believe, 16-1 chances of him leading the game in receiving yards.
Yeah.
So that was a great one if you hit. He was the second lowest. So the second worst
odds
for him. So
yeah, he also had that 2-point conversion, came out and accounted for 20 total points of New England's 34 yesterday. So, I mean, obviously, just a huge game for him. And that's one of the things I do love about the Super Bowl in particular, is guys like James White, guys like David Tyree are going to now go down forever. They're going to be synonymous with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, even with the catch that Julian Edelman made.
Yeah, that was a crazy catch. Yep.
It was insane. The concentration just to, I mean, that ball levitated there for like a second.
Yeah.
You know, it was insane.
That was a crazy play. I mean, the entire game, this was a Super Bowl unlike any other we've seen, obviously, going into overtime and finishing like that was crazy.
A lot of point margin that the Pats overcame, it was, yeah. Everything you kind of wanted, I feel, in a game.
Yeah, there's all sorts of funny stats about this game that I want to get into in a second. But the thing I really do love particularly about these the Super Bowl in particular is that who knows what James White's career is going to look like from here on out. He may end up being one of those guys who's a borderline Hall of Famer. Or this may be the height of his career, but even if this is the height of his career, that's pretty awesome.
I mean, the Super Bowl MVP, granted, it does not forecast your career. I'm looking at, I believe, Malcolm Smith won it for Seattle 3 years ago when they won theirs, the linebacker.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, a guy that I ran against in my my days back down in L.A.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I grew up with him. So shouts to Malcolm. But again, a guy that hasn't quite lived up to that Super Bowl MVP afterwards,
sure. You
know.
But he still has that.
He still has that. I mean, that's still something you can't take away from. Like, I played in that game.
Right.
I played my ass off in that game, and I got a nice little trophy for it.
Yeah,
like, that's solely his.
It's just like Malcolm Butler, and he's turned out to be a really good player, but forever, you know, he's going to be known to Pats fans and really to football fans all over as winning a Super Bowl for the Pats, and that's pretty damn cool, I would say. And that's, like I said, that's what I love about this game in particular, is every now and then you get a guy who really steps up and has this performance that you don't often get or isn't typical of or indicative of that particular player.
Now, if you were playing fantasy and you had James White on your team, you would have realized the guy's actually got some point potential in him right there. He went off on very many occasions. So he wasn't a completely unknown player up until the season. I mean, this was the season he first came along and we actually know his name. But again, he really cemented himself as being, you know, just, again, he's going down in folklore now. Like, the Pats are forever going to be, he probably doesn't have to buy a drink in Boston ever again. Everywhere he goes, he's like, oh, James White, oh my gosh.
That was folklore, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Boston.
It kind of came out as one word. I was just
folklore, yeah. Okay.
No, you're absolutely,
you're making me self-conscious now with all this second
You're absolutely right. He probably will not have to buy any more drinks for himself. Except for the fact that no one knows what he looks like because he plays football. So,
yeah,
and he's not a quarterback. So, and he lives in Boston, so that might be, Anyway.
I don't know what it has to do with that, but okay. I mean, other than the fact that he wears a mask on his head, or I shouldn't say mask,
well,
helmet
just,
on his head.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's not the friendliest city to people of a darker persuasion.
I was saying, to be a black guy in Boston is not fun. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've never been one before.
But he should get a pass forever.
Yeah, no, I believe
so.
Because
he just won them a Super Bowl.
He did. He did more than his fair share.
Yeah. Anyway, what else do you want to touch on from this game?
I did want to say that Belichick, and I mean, I'm sorry, the moment between Brady and Goodell, honestly, there's something about that that was just very priceless to me.
Yep.
I loved this, like, I got to shake your hand now. It's like the boss that's like, I've tried to get you fired.
Right.
But you're just too damn good.
I think, I believe it was a Now I Know segment way earlier in the season, right after Tom Brady came back from his suspension. And I said that I thought it was going to be funny when Roger Goodell had to hand over the trophy to Tom Brady, and I was really looking forward to that moment. And that was definitely in question a lot yesterday, but it happened. So that was everything that I was hoping for.
And I'm also really happy. Granted, I didn't hear the broadcast as clearly as I was, you know, in a very, in a bar, loud noises everywhere. Sure. They didn't bring up the whole Deflategate stuff that much, I feel, which was nice because that was just like, it's annoying me.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to see that one moment. I didn't want him to really talk about it. I just wanted to witness it and see them like having to like get to that moment where they shake hands and like, all right.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of you, boy. You're too good.
And there's a picture of like Tom Brady potentially flipping Roger Goodell off or not. It's,
you never know these days, man. They alter everything.
Yeah, so it's hard to tell, but I enjoyed that moment as well. And obviously, Patriots fans, in fact, Noobs, our co-host, is out today because he is, as many of you know who listen to our show regularly, he is a lifetime Patriots fan, and so he had he was celebrating.
Yeah, I'm sure he went a little cuckoo.
Yeah, he probably had a really good time, hence why he's not here today.
And
I totally understand, respect where he's coming from.
I mean, I took last year off of work because the Panthers were in it, and like I knew if they won, I would not want to be working.
Yeah, I remember.
The day after.
Yeah.
It was a bad night.
When the Warriors were in the finals, I was taking some time off work, getting off early. So we all do that.
Yeah.
Had my heart ripped out through my chest, but that's another story for another day. You did mention, before we get completely off of the Super Bowl, and I know we're going to talk about some criticism Lady Gaga, that is, for her halftime performance, but before we get move on, I know you alluded to it earlier, but I did want to bring it back. What a year in championships we've had.
Yeah.
In the NCAA with March Madness, Villanova hitting that buzzer beater against Carolina, Clemson coming back against Alabama, and essentially hitting a buzzer beater at the end there to win the game. The Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals. We were treated to some great championship games this year. And hopefully we can keep it up as we go forward, because I don't think we'll ever get a year like this again, because that was...
I mean, sports-wise, finals, those are like the biggest games. All eyes are on them. And for them to put that type of show on each and every single go-around, I don't think you can get that again. I mean, we had like, it felt like every single time we're saying it's the best finish ever, like it can't be beat. And then we kind of have so far.
So, it was, it's been a crazy year. So I just wanted to touch on that because that's nuts. And we should really, as sports fans, just appreciate it because, we probably won't get it again. Anyway, moving forward, you wanted to talk about some of the criticism that Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga,
is that what the kids call her, was receiving for her halftime performance, so the floor is yours,
Mike. Obviously, I'm not going to say a Lady Gaga fan, nor am I even a halftime Super Bowl fan. I usually bypass them. Ever since I missed Janet Jackson's incidents, I've sworn them off. Like, I'll never watch them again. But I got a little ticked off on the whole response to Lady Gaga that the media was giving her, because they said that she didn't go political enough. Many articles claim that she played it safe. And I was just kind of a little annoyed by that, because I feel like we have a certain idea in our head that every time we have the stage or the eyes are on us, we have to make some grand statement instead of just being part of the situation. Like Lady Gaga, she is a singer. She's a singer-songwriter. She performs. She's not a political politician in any way. She doesn't represent our country in Washington, D.C., or even on the city level, probably. She's just an artist and performer. Why do we always have to expect some type of grand statement from these people when, let's face it, we all know what's going around, and we kind of look to the Super Bowl, I feel, as a way to kind of escape. And granted, we look at the Super Bowl, especially some of the ads that got rolled in there, some people are complaining that it did get really political, but I thought that the way that Gaga did it, we all know the situation we're in, we're all very privy to it, we've all been aware of who our president is and how that takeover happened. Why do we have to have another statement of her? She probably has made her statements well known on the internet and other places. Do we really need another stadium, another chance for her to broadcast that? Can't we just appreciate the art that she's putting out there? For some people, they really enjoy that, like that's their favorite type of music. Lady Gaga's an amazing performer to them. For me, it wasn't so much entertaining from what I did see.
Sure.
Lots of lights, lots of movement, lots of dancing, That's kind of what you want, I feel. Why do we have to always, like, you know, make that statement?
Yeah, I was, I guess, surprised that she didn't go political, but I was surprised and not surprised at the same time, if that can be true. And the reason being is Gaga is fairly political. She does speak her mind on some of these issues, especially issues of inequality in our country. And so I was a bit surprised that there was no real, like, overt statement. But at the same time, I thought after last year when Beyonce came out and did the Black Panther salute with their formation performance, I really thought the NFL was going to try and temper that. And, I mean, let's face it, what Colin Kaepernick had done all year was, if nothing else, was incredibly polarizing. And I think the NFL really wanted to stay away from any polarizing topics, or as many as possible, this go around.
Yeah.
Considering the temperature of the room, so to speak, or the temperature of this country, where it seems for the first time in years we're more divided than we have been. And I don't know that that's 100% the case, but it just, at least the way the media...
We're focusing on our divide more than our likes, I feel, more than ever. That's what gets the play.
Yeah, I completely agree there. So, and, you know, I do agree with you. I believe maybe it was you and I, maybe it was when Jordan was on the show in the past, and we were talking about Kaepernick, and then also, you know, Jordan made that $1 million contribution this year, and we were talking about athletes using their platform. And I think we're all in agreement that, look, if you choose to use it, great, but by no means, since just because you have a platform, do you have an obligation, in my opinion, to speak on something political, or, you know, especially even if it's not something that, if it's something you feel, then yeah, I believe that maybe you should, you know, you should express yourself. If it's something you're passionate, educated on, well-versed on, then yeah, I think you should speak up on it. But we were talking about this with Cam Newton. Cam Newton, not a great spokesman for the black plight in America. And the reason I say that is he's not a very great speaker, you know?
That's one thing I think a lot of people are being lost on right now, is just to be able to be up and present yourself with some form of dignity and, like, professionalism.
Yeah, I mean, we make fun of Cam Newton, or we make fun of you a lot around here, because you'll mess up cliches like this here.
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, right, throw a ball out at a barnside.
yes. So, but Cam Newton is a million times worse. I don't have it. I'll play it next week, but there is a montage of him just butchering cliche after cliche. And
that's his game plan, is just keep a nice painted picture of myself and just say what I'm supposed to say. And that kind of, I get what he's trying to do. You don't want to try to stir a controversy, but at the same time, it just gets mundane, and, like, we shouldn't even talk to him anymore, I feel. If those are the responses we're going to get out of you, then okay, fine. You don't want to be real with us.
Yeah, I just don't think that it's because you're African-American and you're in a leadership position that you should have to speak on something if you don't want to. I mean, and the thing about it is, a lot of these people that are asking him or feeling that he should say something, in certain cases, these are white people, and I think part of what gets lost, perhaps, is it's not received the same. If Cam Newton was to come out and speak versus Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr or Stan Van Gundy or some of these basketball coaches that have been incredibly outspoken. I mean, going back to the whole Kaepernick thing, I mean, all he did was take a knee and look at the backlash he got. You know, and I just think that you know, it's something that you really have to, if you're going to do it, you have to take it on, and it's got to be something you're really passionate about and willing to suffer the consequences. And if you don't want your money messed up because you don't want to become polarizing, I don't begrudge anyone for doing that. And to your point, I was actually, as much as I do enjoy when celebrities speak their mind, I enjoyed yesterday going being able to sit back, watch football for, God, like 12 hours, it seemed like, for that game.
Yeah.
But just to not be inundated with any political stuff, you know, because I get it everywhere else. I open up Instagram, I open Twitter, you know, I turn on the TV to almost any channel, and it's all politics right now. So it was nice to just get that little reprieve.
Oh, no doubt. I couldn't agree. I agree with you on that front. Just because you have it, we have a certain expectation. It's like, if they don't want to, they shouldn't have to. Not to mention, with the way that we, you know, almost, it's almost a combative form of politics that we have right now, where a lot of people are very scared to speak out if they don't agree with what the majority of people are saying right now, you know? And so it becomes a scary situation when I think we expect people to do that, and when they don't, we get very upset with them. And it's like, they don't have to. And I don't, again, if you need Lady Gaga to put a political statement out there to make yourself feel like stronger in your beliefs, I think there's more problems there. You know, like, Lady Gaga should not be your end all be all of, yes, finally, Lady Gaga's making a point. I can stand behind her.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. So let's do this. Let's take a quick music break. We'll gather ourselves. We have a sports break coming up for you here in a few moments. We'll get to our takeaways from the seasons, from this past NFL season. Now, what are we going to do with our Sundays? We'll get to that. So stay tuned for all of that. In the meantime, let's hear some Bob Marley. It's been dreary out all day here in Northern California. I think Bob Marley is exactly what we need. What do you say?
I'm down with that.
Okay, let's do it. Classic right there. Bob Marley, Iron Lion Zion. I felt like this was a good time for some Bob Marley.
No,
this
more like a good time for a potty break.
Yeah, no, I needed it. No. Well, you know, I'm getting old. this is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. People-powered radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert. This is Talking About Practice. Alongside me, Derek Isamaki. Derek, you have a sports break, do you not, sir?
I do, but before we get into that, I want to just do a quick thank to our sponsors right now. Yep. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Life Vantage. Dealing with arthritis pain? Want to reduce free radicals by 40% in 30 days? Seeking a healthy energy drink or interested in skincare or weight loss? Visit dcw.life, vantage.com, and learn how to achieve the health goals you desire. Or call Diane at 566-4273 and start living for today.
Very nice, my friend.
Sweet. And yes, we do have a little news break right now for the rest of the world to get caught up on what happened this past week. We have, I just want to give a quick shout out to Sergio Romo, the newest Dodger, and a great transformation story of another giant who saw the light and came to the LA Foundation. Welcome aboard, brother. We love to have you on. Want to give a shout out. Today does mark the anniversary of the great mystical dunk-off between MJ and Dominique Wilkins. And awesome. That great NBA All-Star Weekend. Other news right now that's not quite sports related. Scientists have found a volcano on Mars that has been erupting for the past 2 billion years. And that's what I would call releasing a load. All right. Now, there is a Harambee-shaped Cheeto that has reached a bid of $100,000 right now on eBay. It makes you wonder what that Abraham Lincoln-shaped potato chip is worth now.
Can we get off the Harambee train? It was a damn gorilla for...
Yeah, no, that was a bit ridiculous. I don't understand how it's so... how that gorilla is so popular. Okay, well, anyway, Harambee, $100,000, Cheeto-shaped on eBay, if that's something you're looking for.
Yep.
Paul Pierce returned to the TD Garden one last time. But this time he was a Clipper, so I guess life doesn't always fulfill happily. That doesn't make any sense, whatever. That was another moment. Man. Okay.
Wow.
Frank Lampard, the great Frank Lampard, a attacking midfielder for the English soccer team, for the national team, and many other Premier League teams around England and over for your LA Galaxy, has finally retired from soccer. Shouts to him. Frank Lampard, one of the best ever to play the game. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, Brady's game-worn jersey is missing. So if you've seen it, please hide it. That thing's going to be worth a lot of money one day, probably. But I'm guessing that Nicolas Cage bought it so he could save it from falling into the wrong hands. That's a national treasure right there, guys. Man, are they just falling flat right now? Come on, that was great. Come on. No, all right. Last news update for the day, guys. I'll get you out of here. Kylie Jenner recently tried to trademark the name Kylie. However, Australian starlet Kylie Minogue has other ideas, saying that Jenner is, quote, a secondary reality TV personality. Uh-oh. Shots fired. Yes.
Marshawn Lynch, one more time.
That's the news update for you guys right now.
Good.
Important stuff right there.
Very important. Where are we going from here, Derek? What do you want to discuss?
Might as well, like I said, finish up football.
Get it off of there
completely off our palate for the next few months. And so let's just get the takeaways of the season right now.
All right. You want to start? You want me to start?
You go for it right now.
All
right. I need a cat moment to, you know, figure out what words I need to say because I'm terrible at figuring them out on the spot.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I would start with, I think the biggest takeaway I would have from the season was the whole Colin Kaepernick protest. The fact that it became a topic of national debate, I thought was great. Now, regardless of where you stand on how he did it or what his message was or any of that, I thought that what he was standing for is important. I thought that the way he executed it was perfect in the execution. He did it in a not a look at me fashion where he was blatantly being disrespectful, aside from the pig cop socks. That wasn't a good look. But I thought everything else, I thought he handled himself with class throughout the entire thing, and I think that's what I'll remember more than anything from this past season. I thought it was more transcendent than any one game or player or anything like that. So for me, that's what I'll probably remember the most.
No doubt. I mean, that season is definitely going to go down with him being a focal point in any history book from here on out, I feel, when it comes down to, you know, any NFL historians and whatnot.
He was on the cover of Time magazine. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Again, I'm not here to discuss why I thought it was so important or any of that, or whether or not people agree. I just think the way he went about it was, and the fact that he got people talking and having these hard conversations was impressive. And again, and then to back it up with not only donating money, but his time and starting this Know My Rights campaign, I just, well done, sir.
Well, as nice and as, you know, important as that issue might be, I'm going a little bit different of a route.
Sure.
In saying my biggest takeaway from the season, I'm just going to repeat it as the show has been saying this entire year, is don't trust Atlanta.
Yes.
That's honestly, I feel like, got to be my biggest takeaway, man. Like, you, as much as I want to give, you know, obviously props to them for what they did this season, yep, making it to the Super Bowl, but they just showed that, you know, you experience is key. You know, it really is. And you saw that with a young secondary in the Atlanta team that you just couldn't really trust. So,
yeah, once again, for those of you who missed the beginning of the show,
listen up, kids.
I've been saying it all year.
Trust the Falcons.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep, they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
That would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they win the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there,
yeah,
take New England. Yeah, good advice by me.
Yeah, no, they haven't won a Super Bowl yet, guys, so I guess we can't take them seriously.
Not yet, yeah, not yet. All right.
Yeah, take your ears away from the NFL, man.
I did want to mention that this season in general, I thought, was kind of lackluster for the most part. Obviously, it ended with a bang, but in the postseason, we had, besides the Super Bowl, we had one good game, a really good game between Green Bay and Dallas. And during the season, we had a couple. Pittsburgh and Dallas stands out to me. I'm trying to think of another one that really stands out as being a great game. I know that Atlanta-Kansas City game, we had some really fun finishes.
Yeah, I was going to say Aaron Rodgers provided a couple of those for us.
Yep, and then we had the guy on Denver block the extra point and take it to the house for a win. We had Eric Berry return a pick six and then return a pick two 100 yards to end a game with Atlanta. And only Atlanta can score a touchdown
and then still lose the game
to take the lead, yeah, and then still end up having to kick off to the other team after losing the lead,
yeah,
and the game eventually.
Yes, that's a great rule right there. I love it. Like, hey, we just scored, but here, we're gonna give you the ball back again.
Yeah, it's right back. Yeah. And that's what was almost stupefying about yesterday, is everything went right for Atlanta. They were sacking Tom Brady. They got a pick six. I mean,
yeah,
for crying out loud, that game was theirs to lose, and they did it. And they found a way to lose it. And again, don't trust Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen. You got anything else, or you want to move on?
I was going to say, I'm ready to move on now.
Yes.
NFL is done for us now.
It's done. Unless anything seriously breaks, Kyle Shanahan is now the Niners head coach for apparently 6 years with John Lynch as their GM, with previously no front office experience.
I feel like so many organizations are trying so desperately to try to find that, like, young, innovative guy that's like, oh man, he's like the Einstein of football. You know, with, you got LA going after the young, McVay, right?
Yeah.
Super young guy there. And not saying that just because you're young doesn't mean you don't know anything, but it just feels like a lot of teams are just, they're so desperate for something that they're just shooting at whatever they can.
Yep. Yeah.
And you got Kyle Shanahan, again, a guy who's been raised in the NFL. I mean, his dad is no spring chicken. He's been around the NFL for quite some time, had success with Denver. So you never know. He's got the mindset of a head coach because he's been around it so long. But again, it's such a difficult position to fill, to find someone that can stay there for his, you know, whatever you can.
Yeah.
And they're going after a guy who's never done it before. Two guys and their GM as well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it works for them. Hopefully it does. But I just everything the Niners have done over the past two seasons is beyond me. And Jed York, I really wish we could fire owners because he needs to go. But anyway, let's move off of football. Now, yeah, that we have our Sundays back, Derek, how are you going to spend yours?
I'm always going to be waking up early and catching myself some soccer because that stuff is so going on. And we've got some great races going on in the Premier League and in La Liga and even in French League soccer. So great times over there. I still got football going on in my life. I know none of you all care, but I do.
Yeah, we got some soccer listeners out there.
Yeah, no, we do. We're a soccer town.
I actually might check out the EPL this year, maybe some La Liga games. I got the time now, apparently, now that my Sundays have opened up. I may actually go back outside on Sundays and see what it looks like out there.
Church is always an option as well. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something people do on Sundays. I will not be. I don't think there's enough holy water in the world to wash off of me when I walk in there Sunday morning. But, you know.
Good to know that I'm doing this show with the devil.
Indeed. I don't know. I'm looking forward to some warmer weather coming up. Springtime.
I would say that's baseball. Been kind of a big downer right now. Even though that there's no football going on, it's still going to be kind of dreary, I feel like. It's been kind of stay indoors, bundle up for safety.
Yeah, which is going to make us appreciate the spring so much more. After the drought we've had, and ladies and gentlemen, all you Californians, do not believe the hype that the drought is by any means over. We've had two good years of rain. That doesn't mean the drought's over. We're in a six-year drought, so if you do the math.
I mean, it's better, but yeah.
It's better, yeah, but don't sleep on the drought, ladies and gentlemen. We're still in one, but yeah, all the rain this year has been great, and it has kept me indoors, so I know the second it really starts to get warm on a regular basis, I'll be out fishing and camping and boating and doing all those fun outdoor activities that I enjoy doing.
I was going to say, another idea for people who want Sunday and have a little money to spend, I hear that snowboarding and skiing are a lot of fun.
They are.
I've never done it before, but
really?
Never gone.
I guess you're an LA cat. Yeah, as easy.
And like you, again, to be able to go snowboarding, you had to have money to do that. You know, like that's
it is an expensive sport. Yeah. Just the lift ticket alone. Yeah,
and then you got to like get rentals because I'm obviously not going to buy it because I'm going to use it one time.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, it's your boy don't have that type of money.
Well, if you got money, you can go skiing and snowboarding. But if you don't have money, you can get a piece of cardboard and make yourself a sled and have a great old Sunday.
I have had a snowball fight. That I have done before.
Yes. Yeah. So those are all things we can do. Barbecuing, there's another idea.
Boom. You guys, we got a plethora of them. If you need more, just hit us up.
Yeah. This segment's going nowhere.
Just like our Sundays.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's going nowhere. Let's move off of what we're going to do. I want to get to Now I Know, but before we get to that, I did want to talk just real quickly, if we could, about Sergio Romo going to the Dodgers. This has been kind of a trend lately where our washed-up pitchers and players go down to the Dodgers. Now, Juan Uribe had some okay years for you guys.
Yeah, he had success with us.
Yeah, but I think for the
Giants...
You got
overpaid, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, you
we're
guys are the Dodgers.
Yeah,
and
we're still paying Carl Crawford a ton of money.
To say,
yeah,
I was just about to say, isn't Crawford still on the books?
Yes.
Which is amazing. It's whatever. The kid, he's a SoCal kid. For God's sakes, the guy's got an LA tattoo on him, the Dodgers symbol on him. I believe on his chest or on his arm somewhere, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, that's where he's from. I'm sure he's happy to be going home. I have a funny story about Sergio Romo that I'll tell you off air because it's not really appropriate on air. But
we just set our listeners up for nothing.
If you guys want to hear it, go ahead and hit me up. Let's just say the guy's a party animal, okay? We'll leave it at that. I don't want to be on the air dry snitching over here. So, but yeah, it's been a weird trend where a lot of former Giants players, Brian Wilson, Juan Uribe, as I mentioned, now Sergio Romo, and there's some others that date back, Jeff Kent.
We got him.
Yeah. And many, many more that I'm not thinking of right now because I'm drawing a blank, which is just great for radio. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. I thought that was interesting. And you mentioned earlier that this is the anniversary of the MJ Dominique dunk contest. And for me, man, that was a pivotal moment in my life. And what I mean by that is I have a VHS at my grandparents' house of the 80s. It's like a wrap-up of the 80s in the NBA and the NFL. And much of it is spent talking about that very dunk contest. And that dunk contest really made me, when I was at a very young age, watching that VHS. That's what made me want to dunk more than anything. So I'd go out there, I'd practice my jumper, I'd practice this and that. But I was determined, even though I'm only 5'9", to be able to dunk. And eventually got there. broke my elbow doing it in eighth grade, but you know, I got
there. Hey, man,
there.
You got to go through the pain, man.
Yeah, so.
You want to get up there.
So I just wanted to kind of salute that because that was, it was an inspirational moment in my life.
Hey, man, it was an awesome time. It's definitely one that's going to live down. Speaking of dunk contests coming up, we're kind of talking about it off air, how unfortunate we are. We're not going to see Zach Levine,
yes.
However he goes by it, in the dunk contest. Granted, he got hurt, but he did say he wasn't going to participate in it before
he got hurt, yeah.
The injury happened, which, I don't get why you wouldn't, because like, that's the only thing you got going for yourself, I feel. You know?
Well, he's starting to shape and coming to his own in the NBA. He's starting to be a pretty solid starter.
Yeah, but he's not going to be on the All-Star game like as an alternate or as a reserve.
Oh, no, I agree. He should have defended his title. I think we're all getting cheated a little bit, but what's that kid's name? Derek Jones. From the D League.
For Phoenix or Houston.
Yeah, he signed like a 10-day or something like that. And it's
ridiculous ups though.
It's crazy. So if you're betting, I would put my money on him. I don't know what the odds are. I haven't even looked at those, but I would put my money on Derek Jones to win it. Even though I wouldn't be surprised to see Aaron Gordon win it. He got cheated last year. I thought he should have won it last year, but
I mean, it's so hard to, like, because that dunk contest, that one, honestly,
that was
like,
great.
That was probably, I think, one of the better ones. Like, no offense to MJ and Michael, I'm sorry, to MJ and Dominique, what they put on, but, like, the spectacle that they threw was, I mean, it took what MJ and Dominique and just elevated it, because that's what's happened with dunking. It's become so, it took a real big kind of stag for a while of, like,
yeah,
how do we take these dunks to the next level?
And then Vince Carter changed that for a little bit.
Yeah, and then it kind of went back down again. We had, like, I'm sorry, as much as I, you know, Nate Robinson, I don't like it. Like, don't get me wrong. Seeing a short guy dunk is awesome. But, like, having him win solely because he's short and, like, because he's doing, like, oh, man, he looks like he's just jumping really high. It's like, I mean, if he's doing amazing dunks, he's doing amazing dunks. But they're not usually as amazing as someone who's got,
Well, that one year, Jason Richardson got absolutely hosed. When he went off the backboard between the legs, I would still contend that is my number one or two dunks in a dunk contest of all time. I've attempted that dunk and I can't even come anywhere close.
It is kind of like amazing how you think dunking is such an easy thing to do, but it's
difficult.
Like trying to do anything remotely other than just straight dunking it with your hand or two hands is completely utterly absurd, honestly. Going between your legs, around your back, anything.
Yeah, and going off the backboard, so it's just highly underrated dunk. Also a lot of bias there because Jason Richardson is one of my favorite players of all time. So, you know, there's that. But I don't know. I did think it would be – this year is going to be interesting. I'll still watch. It definitely lacks the star power, and I really wish that – the guys that are amongst the best dunkers and players, like LeBron in his prime, not to say
Russell Westbrook right now.
Yeah, it's just like get in the dunk contest, like, guys.
I know it takes like time and you have to like plan it out and stuff, especially nowadays, but come on.
How much time does it really take?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to try these four dunks. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what I think they should do if these guys, because that's what's kind of happening. You have a lot of the guys that should be in the dunk contest very reluctant to enter it. Take the guys, we mentioned it before, the Instagram guys out there and their dunking that they're doing. Bring in a couple of those guys and have them put on a show, you know, along with them. Like, have the dunk contest, but bring those guys in too and actually see some amazing dunk that these guys are doing because they're insane what they're able to accomplish. And to be able to put that on the stage, I think would have been awesome.
Yeah, and they've been trying to think of ways to incorporate that a little bit more and more. it is All-Star Weekend, but I think All-Star Weekend is more of a celebration of basketball, not so much specific to the NBA, even though it is an NBA event. But, I mean, look, they have the WNBA. They have some of their players come take part in it. I don't know. They don't still do the skills competition, do they? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it's the it was that team one where they had an old-timer,
mm-hmm.
A current player and a WNBA player.
Yeah.
I don't think they're doing that anymore.
Okay, but the point being is, you know, they're just trying to showcase what basketball is. And these guys on Instagram, like you're talking about the professional dunkers, they should absolutely be given a platform to show off in front of the entire world their skills. Because what they're doing, like you said, is some of the most insane things I never thought were even possible. And video games haven't even thought of some of these dunks. So,
yeah.
No. Anyway, that's a little antidote on the dunk contest coming up. Let's get into Now I Know.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Let's do it.
How this works is we basically discuss some things that we now know after this weekend in sports or past week in sports. So let's get into it.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Alrighty, now I know. You want to start? You want to start us off? You want me to start us off?
I'll take it right now.
All right.
Yeah, you may want to turn my mic on though.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
You're not mic two at all.
I am not mic two. No.
All right.
Amateur over here right now, guys. We're still figuring it out. Okay, so now I know after this week in sports right now, I'm really upset it happened right after we got off the air last week, but I now know that LeBron James needs Charles Barkley validation to consider keep his legacy alive.
Good one. Yeah, Charles Barkley basically said that LeBron was being a baby, and LeBron got all sorts of personal and said that he never missed or showed up late for All-Star Week.
Oh, yeah.
All-Star weekend because he was in Vegas. He doesn't have outstanding Vegas debts. He never said he wasn't a role model. Just really went off, got super personal with Chuck.
Yeah.
And I thought Charles Barkley handled that situation well, where he basically said, look, like, I don't take back what I said. LeBron can say whatever he wants to say, but I'm not going to get personal. So,
and I'm not going to lie. Part of me kind of agree with what Chuck was saying anyway. Like, what LeBron was doing, again, it kind of sucks it happened then because it's such a great topic when it came out. But, yeah, I mean, LeBron, you're the best in the world. Yeah, like, I feel like I get what you're trying to do, but at the same time, don't do it.
Yeah, like, you're better than necessary. That. Now I know that this is my favorite sound of all time, perhaps. Give me one second.
39 was last year, and he could barely, like,
right.
Throw a ball out at a barnside.
hold on. If you're listening, that is Noobs at the end. Just check out his O, because that is what makes me the happiest. It's not just that you absolutely butchered this cliche.
Yes.
It's that Noobs dignified it with an O. He validated your cliche.
39 was last year, and he could barely, like,
right.
Throw a ball out at a barnside. That's a classic. That one's going down for a while now.
That is one of my favorite things that's ever happened on this show. Oh, God. Good times. Yes. Anyway,
all right.
Back to you, sir.
Now I know that the losing quarterback of the Super Bowl is able to participate in an interview without walking off prematurely.
Ooh, shots fired at Cam Newton. That's okay.
Yeah, I feel like I can do that.
Yeah, you're a Cam fan.
I'm a Cam fan. You're just kind of hauling out what the guy did and is wrong. Granted, I know it's a tough loss to be in, but again, it was honestly, if anyone saw the interview that I saw a couple interviews that Matt Ryan did, he looked too poised and too nice, I feel. Like, you just lost the Super Bowl. That's the biggest game of your career. You've had so many doubters over your head. Can Matt Ryan actually win? Is he a real MVP? Blah, blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And you just completely, utterly, y'all choked. It really was. You guys completely dropped the ball. You literally did drop the ball one time and turn it over, big turnover. And, yeah, I mean, it's an all-team effort, but still, I feel like there's got to be some remorse I felt in that voice. I didn't feel it on that. But anyway, you can do it without walking off.
All right. Now I know how Plaxico Burress can go from eating breakfast to being in Rikers Island.
Having an omelet, some cantaloupe, and some melon, some berries, a little oatmeal. And like 3 hours later, I was on Rikers Island.
Oh, man, Plaxico.
Good.
Great interview out, with, what was that, Vice Sports he's doing after his...
yes. That is,
got shot himself in the leg in the nightclub.
That comes courtesy of Vice Sports, yep.
Oh, good times, man. Good old Plexco.
Yeah.
He had such a great career ahead of him.
Yeah, and then he shot himself in the leg.
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate that he had to do that right now.
You got another one? Or?
I don't have another one anymore, no.
All right, well...
Do you have another one?
No.
Okay, we don't know anymore, guys.
Oh, wait,
so.
Actually, did I have one? Oh, yeah. It's really not great.
Okay. All right. I won't push out of you.
Yeah, it's not very creative or good.
It's okay.
It's just me being sad about the Niners. How do you want to do this? Do you want to get into Grinds My Gears?
Yeah, I got my grinds, man.
All right. Well, go ahead and fire those up. I'll get you some music behind you. And I don't have the sound effect no dialed sound effect. Up for you, so you're just...
Okay, all right.
Oh, actually, hold on.
No.
All right, go ahead.
It's okay.
Psych.
We'll make the most of it right now. So again, what really grinds my gear, guys, is dogs that have regular human names. Like, if you have a dog, you name him, like, Tyler or Sandra or something like that. That just really annoys. It's like, this is a dog. You can call it whatever you want. Get creative. Have a little fun with it right now. And also, don't be the people that name your dog the generic names, too. do not be calling your dog Bella or Daisy. Those names have been played out far too many times right now. Give your chance to dog to be a little bit different than the crew, you know? Just have it stand out a little bit. I'm saying this because over this weekend, right before the Super Bowl happened, I had the glorious opportunity of watching some dog athletes. That's what they're actually calling them on TV. In action, they were doing some great agility drills, some freestyle jumping, catching frisbees. Quite awesome. And I was looking at some of the names. Wasn't super impressed by them. I saw a Force out there. There was a Force. There was a Tucker. There was a... Yeah, I can't remember all the names out there. It's like lackluster names. Go crazy with it. This is a dog. As long as you call it and feed it and give it some love, it doesn't matter what you call it.
So you can't name a dog a person name, and you can't name them Daisy or Bella.
Yeah, those are just generic names, like Spot, Fluffy. Okay. You know, like, come on, get creative with it. And I will say, though, if you want to name your dog a human name, it's got to be like a historical figure, you know? Like, historical figures are fine. I think that's okay. But,
fair enough.
Like, a first and last name is involved with it. Maybe it reminds you of someone. Oh, now we got it. Okay.
Finally. All right.
took a little searching right there. Okay.
It really grinds my gears.
People that compliment people on doing the bare minimum in their job.
And
here's where I'm talking about. Over the season, we had many, the refs were on everyone's mind throughout the NFL. Any pretty much sport, the refs are a big part of it. And there was an issue where a blatant foul was called during one of the games. It was a football game some weeks back. And the commentator at the time mentioned, oh, what a great call by the referees for calling the PI on there. When it was blatant, it was right there in front of you. And, like, how can we say great call on something when it's like, no, everyone saw that. If you didn't call it, I second guess you in every decision that you make from here on out. We don't go and praise a receiver for making a basic, dude, like a 5-yard hook, catches the ball straight into his stomach. That's a basic catch right there. We don't say, oh man, what a great catch by Larry Fitzgerald. He had so many, no defenders around him whatsoever. He was all by himself, wide open, and made an amazing catch. No, that's not what you say. We compliment greatness, not bare minimumness.
All right.
Yeah.
You're really, really worked up about that.
I did, yeah. It got me really going. I'm sorry.
Hey, good.
You have it one more time, or am I going solo on it?
Oh, yeah. I got you.
You know what really grinds my gears?
People that like their own post on Instagram.
Mm.
I don't get that. I really don't. You posted it. I hope you like it. Like, it really doesn't make sense to me. Are you just trying to get numbers game? Is that what you're playing? You're a numbers type of person? You want to get that number one person higher? One like higher? Because that's all it takes? So you have to like your own post? Ugh. That grinds my gears, man. Don't like your own post. We know you like your post. You put it up there. If you didn't like it, you wouldn't put it up there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You got any more?
No, not right now. That was it. I'm all
that was it.
Right now.
Yeah. You're all grinded out.
I can't grind anymore. My water is all boiled up right now.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, we have 3 minutes of the show left.
We do. Yes. We got
we got through everything we planned, so...
Well, we were expecting Jordan to be on the
show.
Yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah.
DJ J-Pounds, BYOB Radio. Where are you at, bro?
We're planning this for a 3-person epic showdown, and now we're left
with
these two jabronis.
DJ PHG, what are you on? Mic one? Hello, sir.
What is going on?
Finally, another voice. So much better.
It's end of the football season.
Yes.
And I'm going to say the unthinkable right now.
Uh-oh.
Cleveland Browns, Super Bowl champions, 2018.
Are you willing to get it tattooed on your body?
If they... No. No. Okay.
No,
my Cleveland pride runs deep, but not that deep.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, well, and you have no tattoos, so that'd be a foolish first one.
Yeah.
That'd be a really foolish first one.
It's amazing that people still do that. Like, get the tattoos of their team winning before it actually happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess if they want to be the first person to do it, you know, you could be the merchandise companies, you know, make both teams as Super Bowl champion merchandise, right, so yeah. As soon as the game happens, they can start selling it right there.
Can't, that's a good point. I guess the Falcons can take solace in the fact that they're going to be Super Bowl champs over in impoverished
somewhere.
Countries. Yeah. You know? Yeah,
yeah. Sri Lankans are going to be loving the Falcons.
Yeah.
They think they won.
Yeah.
I don't know why I picked on Sri Lankans. It's going somewhere.
I was going to say, Sri Lanka's a nice place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that where the Dalai Lama lives?
And something for you guys to marinate about next week, food for thought, is that, you know, with the New England Patriots winning the Super Bowl today, Tom Brady has now more Super Bowl rings than anyone else. Bill Belichick is being called the greatest coach of all time. Are we in a third America's team? Because for the longest time it was Dallas, and then it was the Green Bay Packers as America's team. And so now are the New England Patriots America's official team, considering questionably one of the best of all time?
I think a lot of people hate them too much, though.
Well, everyone hates the team that wins all the
time. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, haters gonna hate.
Marinate on that one, gentlemen.
Damn, you just blew my mind. Check out thank you, PHG. you can check out PHG every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Caribbean Dance Radio. Chill out with PHG. Enjoy your lunch. He has...